here it is live from Say What You Will Radio Studios in Mesa, Arizona. It's the Pops and Low Radio Show with your hosts, the purveyors of odd news, Pops and Low.
Whoops. Anyway, hey, thank you, Andrew Jones.
Thank you, Andrew Jones,
for that amazing introduction. It is Friday night. We are here live in the Say What You Will Radio Studios, and it is time, of course, for the Pops and Low Radio Show. And with us tonight, of course, is producer Ray. This will be the last weekend,
unfortunately, yes,
for quite some time.
I don't believe it.
Yes,
she'll be here next week
for producer Ray to be in the studio. So
she ain't going nowhere.
If you're watching this, you've tuned in, and you're fortunate.
Oh,
how about
that? What we're saying now? That sounds egotistical. It sounds a little arrogant. You're fortunate to be watching this.
Well, you know,
this is, you know what? It's a time filler, people. All right. Just appreciate it for what it is. All right.
That's right. It is Friday night. It is the Pops and Low Radio Show. If you want to be a caller and tell us something odd, the number 602-475-2000, it could be anything. Anything odd.
Anything at all.
Anything odd. So that obviously leads to the question. Anything odd happened to you this weekend, guys? Anything?
Hello?
I went to a late night driving range. I mean, it wasn't super late night. I say that like it was like, oh, 2 a.m. driving range. No, I went to a driving range that was open till 10 p.m., which is still, I feel like, weird. Usually they're closed by, you know, sundown. And we watched people climb because it was just me and a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And we watched people. They didn't pay. They just showed up. They climbed all the way over. There's like that initial hill, you know, at driving ranges.
Oh, yeah.
And the balls rolled down there all the time. They were chucking them out like rapid fire because they're basically stealing them, hitting them for free.
Oh, but
yeah. That was pretty wild.
Oh, well, there you go. Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah.
Right. Different. That's the first time I've had anything to say. So
very good. Very good. Nobody was shooting golf balls at them while it was happening.
Oh, I was. I hit the guy one time. But nah. I didn't care. No, I put this on everything because I'm left-handed as far as golf. And they were over to our left, and I
got the chili peppers.
One. Yeah, I got under one.
Had the chili peppers.
Hey.
All right, we got some comments up there, producer Ray.
Some is, wow, that's an understatement.
Okay, we'll look at the wife. Yeah, wifey's here. Yeah, the wifey's here. She's in the room. How about that?
Happy birthday to mom as well.
Birthday
shout out.
Well, you stole the thunder, but we'll get to that in just a bit. We'll get to that in just a bit.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we'll get to that. But looks like Jennifer Myers is in the room. Angry Conservative is in the room. Donald Malone. How you doing, Donald Malone?
Donald, long time no hear from you, buddy.
That's right. Bob Myers is in the room. And Mickey Kentucky, Dave Smith is in the room.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people here for the Friday night episode of the Pops and Low Radio Show.
Friday.
Well, something odd happened to me, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because it was just weird. Anybody,
well, your life is odd. Go ahead.
There's a few people in the room. Raph's in the room.
What's up, Raph?
There's a few people in the room that heard this, but I had on my other show, mm-hmm. I had a caller call in, and he was a freak. And just a really weird, angry, argumentative dude. Spent 3 hours on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent the 3 hours trying to prove that basically everything that I believe in the world is completely wrong. And he knows all.
Mm.
That was
he's omniscient.
He was omniscient.
Tom Shirey, how are you?
Hey, Tom Shirey's in the room. How you doing?
I've been
Tom?
Able to get him over on this side.
Yeah, we had to bail out Wednesday night, not feeling well. That was me. Was me. Had a bit of a headache and one of those ones that just kind of lingered, wouldn't go away. All right. Well, so that was the odd thing. This guy called me and it was just the weirdest thing. Like anything I said was wrong. It was just, you know, I had absolutely no logic. I was stupid over and over and over again. And so I just started just making fun of the guy.
As you do.
Yeah, I just, because, you know, when you can't get a word in.
When you can't have a debate.
Make fun of them. That's right. Make fun of them. So it was pretty interesting.
I bet you I know what they were talking about. The moon landing.
No, there was no moon landing discussion at all. None,
oh, man.
None.
No, the whole premise of his. Well, I don't even want to get into it. I just don't want to relive it.
But it was odd. A 3-hour conversation. It was odd.
Yeah. And I finally had to hang up with him, and he called me back and left a 3-minute and 18-second diatribe message on my voicemail.
Wow.
About how he was right and I was wrong. And
you know what's funny about
me hanging
that?
Up proved it.
He cares after 3 hours enough about you to have a 3-hour conversation and 3 minutes and some change. You must have made an impression somewhere. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, Thomas Shirey says audio or it didn't happen.
We have that.
Thomas, you can go to saywhatyouwillradio.com. You can click on the Backyard Politics link there. And all 3 hours and 3 minutes and 18 seconds are all there for your listening pleasure. So,
hey, we got 12 people in the room.
We sure do.
We do. That's a record. How about that? All right. Well,
that's a big deal.
13, actually.
Got here, but hey, welcome to it.
All right, Regs. Let's jump to... Oh, you know what? Can you guys talk amongst yourself? I forgot
to start the intro and then we can do all that. Don't
I forgot to print this today in history. I'll be right back.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, spoiler alert.
Hello?
The next segment is today in history.
Today in history.
Let's see. Today in our history, I know obviously he's going to talk about the thing because we already blew the cover of that. Can you check the comments too? Because people, that'll probably help us buy some time here. Well, hello for those of you that, it's just us.
Yeah, just for
I know
a
it feels very,
just for a few moments.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you know, because he usually, and then we just, you know, and so then it just, anyways, today in history. Yes, see, perfect comment. See, she could just say it.
Exactly.
There you go.
See, mom gets it. Mom's with
she
it.
Was born, the end. That's today in history for us.
Then Logan appeared, and then I appeared, and like dad was involved. And
hey, Raph, see, this is why I need you, because he pulled out things that are things I understand. Russell Westbrook got traded to the Lakers. All right, cool. Yay. We can talk about that. Reagan's like, I don't care.
The Lakers.
She's like, whoa.
They exist.
He said, the room just got better looking. Wow. Tom Shirey taking parting shots.
That's terrible.
He's mad because Pop's called off Wednesday. That's what it was. He said, you weren't sick, USOB. You liar. Well,
that's all right. I don't mind taking some insults. I heard it.
Roll it.
Oh, hold on a second here.
Holding on. And we're rolling it. Maybe.
All right. Go ahead. You're on the Pops and Low Radio Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good. This sounds like some chucklehead from
some damn yinzer
out there. And go ahead. Out there.
Yeah, you got that. Well, it looks like Lo and Ray were struggling a little bit.
Oh, no. We just like to give that impression, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah.
Awkward. It gives us
I figured I'd fill some dead air. Well, you were off.
You know what?
Yeah, speaking of dead air, they had some cocktail wieners before the show.
Oh, wow.
Oof.
Wow.
Some of those little smokies.
Little smokies. Hey, you know what, guys?
Okay, it's a little smoky in here.
Grown-ups,
a little smoky in here.
And use a crock pot. So, you know what? Check. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you guys were on a trip. You went down to the beach.
Yeah, we did. We were in Outer Banks.
Oh, the Outer Banks.
Ooh,
Kill Devil
that's
Hills.
That's a good show. The Outer
Kill
Banks.
Devil Hills, yep.
Oh, were you in that area?
Yeah, that's where Kelly's brother lives. So we went down to visit them for a little bit.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, we still have pictures of Ray when you were just a tiny little thing.
I was in the Outer Banks.
Yes, you were.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Hey.
How about that?
Was Outer Base, Banks, was it Outer Banks or were we up in Atlantic City? Which one was the one I took a tumble when I was super, super little?
I don't recall.
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember.
Might have been Myrtle Beach. You was mean when it? You flipped upside down?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Myrtle
Beach. Ah, it was Myrtle.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, well, see, the minute I leave the show, it just falls on its face.
Hey, yep. We try to tell you.
I mean, it is the Pops and Low show.
That's right.
Thus the double, you know.
That's exactly right.
I mean, hey.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, anything interesting to share while you're on the phone, Dave?
We went to see wild horses down there in Outer Banks. It's pretty cool.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of hang out like deer do up here, like in people's backyards. Mull around and hang out at the beach, you know. It seems like a pretty good life to me.
That sounds like a good life to me. Heck yeah. Myrtle Beach, when Logan said the ocean tasted like beer. That's right. He did. Yeah. He flipped upside down on his little floaty because the lifeguard, he made us come into shore because I had him out beyond where the waves were breaking.
Let's go ahead and air it out. You want to talk about airing stuff out?
Yeah. So
okay, who was responsible for bringing me into shore?
I was. Of course I was.
Yeah.
And I'm telling the story. No, the wave just took you away from me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Four-year-old in the floaty. The wave took you away. Somebody was hands-free. That's why.
I'm not involved.
Hey, I was four. I don't remember.
Well, he flipped upside down, and I rushed over to get him and picked him up by his feet and bit of water come out, you know? And I was terrified, absolutely terrified. Rushed him up, you know, and make sure, you know, because mom was there and everything. And we, are you okay? He says, the ocean tastes like beer. And I said, really? I have to go check that out.
And the love affair with beer started immediately, you know?
Well, that's...
Hey, listen, now that you're back, I am just totally excited to see what
he said. I think the show
is all about
Today in history.
Oh, today in history. That's right. Let's jump to today in history.
Dan.
All right, folks. Well, it was nice talking to you.
All right,
happy
dude.
Happy birthday, Shelly.
We'll talk soon, eh?
Greg, you be good at school this.
Thanks, Uncle Dave.
All right. Have fun, guys.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thanks. See you.
Today in history.
Today in history.
All right, today in history, 1970, 30,000 people arrived to attend Powder Ridge Rock Festival in Middlefield, Connecticut, despite it having been canceled due to local residents' opposition.
You say 30,000?
30,000 people.
Wow.
Hard to stop that.
Yeah. Man, that's like when Wayne's World, when they threw the concert Waynestock, you know?
Yeah, 30,000 people. All right. So you're getting blown up here. Weird. Yeah, my phone was 1983, the official speed record for a piston-driven aircraft, 832 kilometers per hour. Now, I don't know how fast that is speed-wise, but it's probably about half. I'm going to say about 450-ish.
You said how many kilometers?
832 kilometers per hour. Official speed record for a piston-driven aircraft. That happened in California.
800. That's 516.9 miles per hour.
Okay. All right.
Flying, literally.
That's exactly right. 1984, Alvinus tanker at Cameron, Louisiana, spills 2.8 million gallons of oil.
Way to go, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Jag off.
Yep, exactly right. That's right. Birthdays, 1956, Anita Hill. Anita Hill, the American Academy of Attorney, accused Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment. She was born in Lone Tree, Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma.
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 Yep.
That's exactly right. 1979, Diva Zappa, that would be Frank Zappa's daughter, was born in Los Angeles, California. Diva Zappa.
Frank Zappa, remind me.
Frank Zappa, don't eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go.
Right.
Right. Frank Zappa, weird dude. Strange. Weird in his boy's name, his son's name was Dweezil.
Dweezil Zappa.
That's right.
That's a name.
Yep.
Dweezil and Diva. And of course, let me prep the music here. In 1972, Shelley Marie Metcalf, aka the wife, was born. Dun, 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 dun.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. We're gonna let it ride out. Happy
birthday. She had no idea what she was getting herself into when she met me.
No.
And shoot, before that too. The most redneck song.
That is it. That is Bluegrass Happy Birthday. Let's get to the comments here.
You know what? If you're in the comments right now, go ahead and type out Happy Birthday, Shelly, just because she deserves it. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
She says, yikes, this song. That's exactly right. Well, you know. See, back in the day, if my brother was still on the phone, he could tell you all about the bluegrass festivals that our parents drug us to. And it was a great time. It was a great time, except the potty. Didn't like the whole potty deal.
No.
It was horrendous. Now, currently, under my current state, post-COVID, mm-hmm. and not having smell, yeah, it would have been nothing. Walk in the park.
Gotcha.
Would have been a walk in the park.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, if you had the smell, not a good thing.
The ad house.
Not a good thing.
Porta John.
The smell was like almost like a shield built like a radio, like a shield, like in Star Wars, how they had the shields built around planets.
Yeah.
I mean, you would literally walk about 20 feet. That smell would hit you in the face.
Well, they also have like friggin' 20 Porta-Johns lined up next to each other.
So No. Cluster. It was a hole in the ground.
Oh, see, that's,
it was no Porta-John. A Porta-John would have been a little slice of heaven compared to this thing.
I've always had a thing. And you know about this.
We know about the thing.
Explain. I can't. Whenever we go on vacation, go camping, go on road trips, nothing. If it is not a working, flushing toilet, nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
Tell them.
I hear you. I think you probably got that from me. Hey, there's survivals in the room. How you doing, survival? Good to see you, my friend. Yes. Let's see. All right. So, yeah, that's it for today in history and birthdays.
Birthdays.
Yeah. So. Cue up the odd news theme there, producer Ray.
An odd news.
All right, you're tuned in to the Pops and Low Radio Show right here in the Say What You Will Radio Studios in Arizona. Mesa, Arizona.
What's going on? You got like a lag going on today. Like you start your sentence and it's like,
okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I got a lot on my mind. A lot on my mind, you know, today.
Hey, just wanted to clarify.
Sometimes I get confused between the shows too. You know, I'm like sure, ready dude. To say the name of my other show.
Right.
And then I got to stop and think. I'm like, no, I'm not even doing like, that. Hold on.
Time out. There's more people here.
Yeah. So, man. Absolutely. So, normally every week we go over some odd news stories, and this one, here we go. This is going to fly in the face of everything that we've ever been told.
Oh God.
Everything we were ever taught by moms across America.
I'm so ready.
Oh, is that the theme today?
No, but,
it should have been the theme today. We missed the opportunity. All right, that's rolling through.
Well, where were you?
You know what? That's a good question.
Swimming after you eat. Yes, you can.
Oh, you don't have to wait the 45 minutes?
No, well, it was always a half hour the way I grew up.
Yeah, see, well, yeah, the way we grew up, his mother gave it a cushion, you know, to make sure 30 minutes and then some.
No.
Don't lie.
No, I'm telling you the truth. No, I'm telling you the truth. I think there was maybe once where mom was like, no, you should wait. Other than that, it was like, yeah, here, have a sandwich. Go get in the pool.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's interesting.
Her birthday and you're going to give slander out like that?
No. Not slander. Libel. She was being a cool mom and letting me eat a sandwich in the pool. So
she's like, no, you're in the pool. Here's a pizza. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always said you shouldn't eat before you swim.
Right.
But then everybody was always drinking at the pool down at the Blue Spruce.
Yeah. Alcohol.
Yeah, boozing and it up.
Swimming.
Out in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. Boozing it up.
Man.
Nothing to eat.
Nope.
Jump in the pool. Sounds like a bad recipe. Yeah. Recipe for disaster. But apparently nothing says summer like afternoon barbecues and time spent poolside. Of course, these warm weather favorites can also create a dilemma. Do you stuff your face with hamburger? Well, I do stuff my face with hamburgers. Hot dogs, potato salad, corn on the cob, and all the other delights of the summer feasting. Or do you forego eating to hang out at the pool? After all, everyone knows that if you eat before swimming, you'll end up with life-threatening cramps, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they the like episode of SpongeBob, right? Where it was the lifeguard crab or whatever, he gets caught and he, oh, my stomach, you know, that man. Yeah, that's like notorious. That's like mom 101. Don't eat before you swim.
Survival says, I think my parents didn't even care when I grew up. Hey, I saw your dad on your show, Survival. He seemed like a pretty downright cool dude. So, yeah. Pretty cool.
Katie boy, said my pappy was so strict on waiting before we could get back in the pool after dinner. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's Jennifer say? Ray, it's too small for me. I'm an old man.
Was around when you were in diapers, and we moms threw y'all back in the pool or y'all back in the water. Thomas said, cruise down the river drinking all day, and no one ever had to stop to pee.
Whoops.
Facts.
Oh man. Well, that's why you didn't drink the water while you were at the river.
That was
probably one of those things you didn't want to do.
That was a stay above the water ordeal.
Well, anyway, think again, they say. Researchers have plenty to say about one of summer's most prevalent urban myths, and it'll change how you eat and swim no matter the season. No just matter.
Like Reagan, sandwich in hand, in pool. In
the pool. That's exactly right. We've all heard.
Yeah, that's you gotta swim, and it's like above, you know what I mean?
She's like, I'm also treading water with this hand, but bite sandwich.
Right? Also.
Well, that's where you need the good raft. You need the raft with the cup holder.
Yeah, for sure. Because you know, beer, sandwich.
And they should make one that has like a swing around tray that you can put your sandwich on.
They have the one where coolers. You can put a cooler in the floaty, and then you just attach it to it.
See, that's the deal. Get you a nice cold cut sandwich, you know, put you a couple beers in there.
That's what I'm saying. Open, you know,
sunburn.
Maybe like a little clip or something that you could like clip your bag of chips.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Instead of chip clip,
like a chip clip, and then your swing around tray for your burger or your sandwich, and then you know, your cup holder.
Man, that's the life.
Then you just sit there in the pool,
telling you.
And then you put the pool on top of an RV, and then you drive across the country, and there you go.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's a perfect life. That's better than I mean. That's almost as good as being a horse in the Outer Banks.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying?
That's peak.
We got a lot of comments here. Lots
I feel
of
like
comments.
These recommendations are for morbidly obese people. What are you trying to say, buddy? All right, we're gonna go toe to toe. He said, "I'm not gonna see land for at least a week. Coming up tomorrow, I can't wait. That's beautiful."
Oh yeah, the DC Irish. He's going out fishing.
Ooh,
and like professionally fishing. Like he's bringing in like 20,000 pounds of fish.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe tuna. I don't know. That's a great question. But yeah, he goes out and he does that for a living. That's
awesome.
The real deal. You know
the
what I'm
real
saying?
Real deal. James Neal. Shout out my
people.
Pittsburgh
go on
people.
Vacation to fish. This man works to fish.
Katie said, right.
What exactly is a pool appropriate meal? You know what?
Doritos. Mm.
Doritos are like an obligation, right? Okay. Doritos, turkey sandwich. You put the Doritos on a turkey.
You got to watch. You got to watch the mayo, though, if you're outside.
For sure.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. If the mayo gets weird.
Oh, and the guy that I talked to yesterday, he said mayo comes from cows hung up by their hind legs and their necks slit. So that was as odd as that conversation
was.
Has
he seen a farm?
I don't know. The guy's crazy. Anyway, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. So anyway, yeah. So don't eat mayo.
He said he does commercial kingfishing in the Gulf, looking to get 100,000 pounds. Jeez. Good for you, man.
That's pretty nice.
Be safe out there. Fajitas in the pool.
Oh, fajitas in the pool.
See, if the
that's a little tricky.
Extravagant.
I'm telling you, that's
a little tricky.
Fancy.
Yeah, you got to move from fajita to burrito because the fajita is just going to fall out on both ends, right?
And don't forget, the fajita is tricky in the first place because it's got that hot plate that it comes out on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like, it's too, like, you're on waves. I don't think you want a super hot plate.
You get a to-go order from Chili's. They hand you the scalding skillet and you're sitting in a float. Raph said, well, no more mayo after that cow visual. I'm telling you, because even if it's wrong, the image is disturbing.
Well, he also said that they put pigs in gas chambers.
Oh!
That's what he said.
What an evil plan. Damn them pigs.
And he said, half the time they're not even used for food. So you got all these people, these crazy people running around just gassing pigs.
Yeah, because you're going to spend your time and money on avoiding them doing anything for anyone. Let's just kill them. Pigs are the devil.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway.
You know what I did find out that's weird?
What?
This is pretty odd.
Okay.
So apparently a lot of people from like Europe and like other countries think our chocolate tastes like vomit. I know this is gross.
Vomit.
But apparently it has the same like, I don't remember if it was like bacteria or like whatever it's made out of. Something that is like the same thing that stomach acid is made out of.
Oh.
So that's why it tastes like vomit to other people. Mm. But to us, it's fine.
Interesting.
It's what? Super weird.
You know, I've been over there and their vomit tastes like chocolate.
Oh, does it?
Interesting.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So if I see a pile on the floor, I'm eating it.
Man, that's so funny. Mother put in the comments, no chocolate candy bars in the pool like Caddyshack. I just watched that movie yesterday. That's so funny.
That's right.
The baby Ruth, she's like, oh, man, because they knock into the pool. Oh, man, that's a classic.
Let's see. We've all heard the sage advice. Wait a minimum of 30 minutes after eating before going swimming. The reason: to avoid a physical state that could impair your swimming ability. Two theories exist about why this happens. The first argues that the process of digestion diverts blood flow from muscles to your stomach. In turn, muscles cramp and people drown. The second theory, according to some medical doctor of the Dell Children's Medical Center of Central Texas, claims extremities fail altogether due to a lack of blood and oxygen.
Okay, I want you to say the M word that you said in there again. Please tell me you caught it. I'm sitting here looking at you. You didn't look at me once. Read the M word in there again.
The M word, would that be muscles?
Oh, yes, I did catch that. I looked at
you.
Okay,
please tell me that's intentional, because if we're on this kick again with words, I'm calling you out. Muscles.
Of course. All
right, cool, because that made my skin like, ugh. I was like, please don't be serious. All right, cool.
All right. While these theories sound compelling and maybe even convincing, both have a serious problem, no supporting evidence. You see, no documented cases of individuals drowning due to a full stomach exists. So what gives? As it turns out, the amount of blood diverted from your muscles to extremities proves so tiny that it poses no significant physiological threat. Speaking on behalf of the New York State American Academic of Pediatrics, Ellie Ward affirms, quote, "You can wait a few minutes to make sure the last thing you ate went down your gullet, but waiting an hour doesn't do anything."
I'll be honest, like, I've known for a long time about the word gullet. It just, in a sentence, never sounds good.
Yeah, see, Stephanie's got it.
Like, it just...
Popeye. Muscle. My muscles.
Gullet just doesn't ever sound appropriate.
It just makes me think of turkeys.
There you go. Yeah, the gobble gobble. Right?
Yeah, the gullet. Well, there you there. So you don't have to wait anymore. If you just want to just drive a cheeseburger down your throat, jump in the pole, wait till it's in your gullet and move forward.
That's what the railway and hold the sandwich.
Right, sandwich and tread water.
There you go.
Oh man. Well, you know what?
Any good comments in there? I can't see anything. My eyes, I don't know.
Don't worry. She said, "Can you see that?"
All right. I can see that.
Well,
thank you very much.
I'm glad that you laugh a lot, because sometimes when we watch it back, we don't laugh as much as we will. But I'm glad that you get excited by it, buddy. That's what we're here for.
Well, this article was sent over by none other than the wife, and she sent it to me this afternoon. Facebook flags gardening group for violating its standards. Well, I mean, that's
okay.
That's happening, right?
Okay. Gardening group?
A gardening group. That's exactly
what did they say?
Wow, we'll get to that. Okay. But you know, I mean, Facebook—they're watching everybody now, right?
Of course.
There's little buzzwords out there that'll set Zuckerberg into its spin. And
did you see that the Declaration of Independence got flagged?
The what?
The Declaration of Independence.
No, say what you said the first time. the talkie.
The Declaration of Independence.
The chick of Independence.
Of independence.
Right. Sound like the sound my car makes when it's broken down. Man, that was killing me.
Okay.
She's like, "Oh, I'm overheated all of a sudden. It's getting real warm in here."
Hey, welcome to the show, man. There, Producer Ray. That's what happens here.
She's like, "Can I turn my video off now?" Like, man. Well, I can't believe they flagged the ticker of independence. That's like when your alternator goes, you know? That's just bad. Oh, man.
All right. Well,
what a document.
Yeah. WNY Gardeners in Western New York has more than 7,500 members. The word "ho" is what got them in trouble.
Oh, hell no. Oh, man.
Hey, and you know what? If you actually, if some of you know him, the conservative bear, he's actually banned from Facebook for actually saying Kamala Harris is a hoe. H-O-E.
<he's>, Jeez.
He's banned from
that
Facebook.
That was the most evil laugh I think I've ever heard. All right, so talkie, cheese.
So he can actually relate to what's going on here with the gardening club.
All these hoes in the garden club.
The word.
Man. I don't know what it is. Reagan's laugh is killing me tonight. Oh, man.
Facebook's algorithm sometimes flag the word as violent or violating community standards.
That's so funny.
Yeah. A. Martinez, the host, said, good morning. I'm A. Martinez. Gardening groups on Facebook are pretty wholesome, a space that talks about all things plants. But WNY Gardeners, which has over 7,000 members, was flagged for violating standards. Someone asked the group about their most loved and indispensable weeding tool. Indispensable weeding tool. One replied, push-pull hoe. But AI...
I can't do it. Okay, we got to have a team time out here. This is the worst part about this, okay? Look at this. All right, so this whole time, Pops has been reading this article, and you guys can attest to this because you're watching us. Me and Reagan cannot stop laughing. I don't know what it is right now. We got a case of the chuckles, but this is, for some reason, this is striking a chord with me. And she didn't stop laughing the entire time. And I was trying so hard to get back on track, and she's over there just chucking it up. Oh, man. Bunch of hoes, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the push-pull hoe.
The push-pull hoe.
But AI worst. But AI didn't pick up on the meaning. Another offending comment. Kill them all. Down with them in soapy water. No, drown them in soapy water.
Oh, drown the hose.
Drown the
hose. Tough to be a bug.
All right. That's the whole reason we're here. Oh, man. That's hilarious.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so next time you're on your local gardening chat room, don't forget to drown the push-pull hoe. That's what I did. I just wanted to see her keep going. That was great.
What's the comment there from Stephanie?
Stephanie says Ray Gunn. She knows she spelled it wrong, which is actually pretty clever. She said she's like so that. Adorable and is such a great addition to the show. You guys need to add her name to the title so I can spell it correctly.
R-E-H-G-A-N.
Reginald. Reginald.
Oh, Jennifer Myers says John drinks his sparkling keto friendly drink. That's exactly right, Jennifer.
He added a few words into that, but yes, he was close to reading it. That
yeah, time. Because the odd phone call, the gentleman accused me of being extremely upset and concerned and worried about being proven wrong and being proven stupid.
Gotcha.
The whole time I was not worried whatsoever, but I was guzzling down some sparkling ice pink grapefruit flavored sparkling water. I think I had the cherry lime right. Last time. Zero sugar with vitamins and antioxidants. It's wonderful. It's really good. I drink about 17 of these a day.
17?
You go through a lot.
It's probably not healthy.
Like a pack. He says probably not healthy as I continue to down this. Would you say that guy on the phone earlier was a push-pull hoe?
Oh,
hey man, she said, oh, you mean White Claw? No, we don't do that. Okay, no LaCroix, no White Claw. Mm-mm. I mean, yeah,
geez. White Cross or
White what?
White Claw,
talkie talkie,
yeah, apparently.
Robster Cross.
Right. If you put Smarties,
yeah, the little
White Claw tastes like you took a Smartie and put it in fizzy water, and that's the only thing you added.
Oh, really? I've never even had them.
They're bad. No,
I can't taste anything anyway.
They're bad.
While we're talking about it, Bob and Jennifer, they are in the room. They are the purveyors of the Gray Feather Farm all natural skincare products. I just want to give a shout out to the Gray Feather Farm Crack Attack, and I got it right here in my hand. Let me tell you guys, this stuff is amazing. The wife and I both use it on a daily basis, and we use the lotion and the cream. And you can get all the information on saywhatyouwillradio.com. Just go over to the sponsor page.
I can't with you click guys the gray feather. Usually it's me messing up, all right? But tonight you have these long pauses and Reagan's fumbling through every word. That's great.
And if you come into the Say What You Will radio studio, we do have freebies to hand out as well. So
we sure do.
Not but, that you don't need to be enticed to come here, but
call in just, advance. Like, come on.
Yeah, just don't show up.
Right.
And that doesn't go for the guy that called last night. He's not welcome here.
No.
All right. Show up anytime he wants.
He will have to go through metal detectors.
Damn, and push-pull hoe. Yeah.
He will have to be restrained in some sort. All right. Well, let's jump to the next page here.
See, this is how you know we get so far. Survival goes, should I call in? What's the topic?
There's no topic.
There's no damn topic. Welcome to the show, Survival.
Survival, we just talk about anything odd.
He said, this is a family show. Is that what this is? This is a family show?
Totally.
I'm not letting my son watch this. This is funny.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Well, this is a family show. It is a family-oriented show. Angry conservatives, right? But yeah, survival, just so you understand, that we are the purveyors of odd news. We talk about everything odd, and it can be anything. It can be anything. It can be pet peeves. I love to talk about pet peeves.
We do. That's so been a fun hot topic for us for, what, we've been doing this, what, a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pet peeves. I think that was like our very first episode was pet peeves.
You know what my pet peeve now is? What? And I know this is going to be politically incorrect.
Okay.
The whole, you got to call me his, hers, they, theirs.
Oh, the pronouns.
The pronoun thing.
Call me squirrel.
Yeah.
Call me my name. Thank you. Goodbye. Never talk to me again.
How there you go. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Anyways.
Call me moon landing.
One of my biggest pet peeves.
Yes.
Me and Aaron actually just talked about this the other day. When people don't use a or and correctly, for some reason, it just... That's the only thing that
Give me an example.
Me.
Yeah, please.
Like when
we got a phone call here. All right, go ahead. You're on the Pops and Low Radio Show.
Okay, well, I'm survival.
That's survival. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's my Friday. Drinking beer, watching you guys, making me laugh. It's a good time.
How many beers deep are you, survival?
About 10.
Oh my God. No wonder you're enjoying the show. That makes sense. That's okay. I was wondering why you enjoyed the show.
They're Coors Light, though.
Now, are you shotgunning them? Or are you drinking them through the funnel? How are you doing this? One at a time? What are you doing? You
pour it into one big cup.
It's just one at a time. My shotgunning and funnel time is the past. Those are my 20s, almost 40. Right.
Good for you. Because I was going to be worried. I mean, if you were shotgunning.
Yeah, Christy's like freaking shooing me away. She's trying to watch a TV show. I'm sorry.
No worries. What's going on? What happened this week that you found kind of interesting or odd? Any stories?
Oh, man. Are we trying to keep it lighthearted and good, or are we trying to like delve into like political things?
No, this is a apolitical, non-political
children's show.
Yeah, this is
not a children's show.
Not a children's show, no. Just
I know. What happened today for me, man, I haven't really found a whole lot of odd news. I just kind of wanted to be able to.
You just kind of what
you guys.
Oh, right on. Right. Hey, I did see that episode with you and your dad. That was a pretty good thing. Pretty good show.
Yeah. He's a good guy, man. He was not easy on me when I was a kid. Uh-huh. He treated us like men from the time we were about 12. So we got manned up pretty early in life, but yeah. I mean, we all have a sense of humor. The guy has a sense of humor, so
you
got
to have a sense of humor, man, especially in today's world.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So this is your family, dude?
Yeah, this is my family. So this is my son right here. His name is Logan.
Oh, man. Good to meet you, Logan.
Good to meet you.
And then my daughter, Reagan, and she's the producer. She's running the show here.
For now.
I think she's doing a great job, and she's got the infectious laughter. You guys got a good show going on here.
Yeah, she does. She does. Oh, man. She sits in like live streams with friends.
I do.
And my wife and I just sit on the couch and we just hear her laughing and all day long. It's just funny, man. It's infectious.
It's really good. Yeah. So that's a quality that I'm sure she got from you or your wife's gene.
Oh yeah.
Probably a mix of the two.
A little bit. Yeah. Odd how that happens.
I know. Crazy, right?
That's right. Well, what do you got planned for the weekend, survival?
Dude.
Any hiking? I know you like to do the old hiking and stuff.
Like, I usually it's kind of spontaneous for me, but I might go rent a boat and go out on the Puget Sound. I don't own a boat, but I might go out there and... Oh, man, I'm getting an incoming call from Brian, who's in the hospital.
Oh, you better take that. That's important.
Yep, I'm going to take it. Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on it. You guys are really funny. I'll be back.
All right, survival. Take care, buddy.
Very good.
All right, that's survival. And he's 10 beers in.
10 beers in.
If I was 10 beers in, well, you've seen it. It's not a pretty sight. Yeah, not a pretty sight.
For anyone who was there, don't bring it up.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
We're going to scroll past that one.
Well, how about this story? This is an interesting story. Women's burnt remains in Quebec mistaken for a mannequin thrown away by first responders.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago, they saved the blow-up doll. But this week, they let a real person burn. Cool. Good job, humanity.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to read that one more time. I don't think it properly registered with me.
Women's or woman's burned remains in Quebec mistaken for a mannequin thrown away by first responders.
Yep.
So while they're out rescuing, like Greg said,
the blow up doll.
Don't worry, we got her. She's safe. Look. Oh, wow.
Authorities in Sherbrooke, Quebec, held a press conference Thursday after a gruesome discovery last week shocked the community. A woman's burnt remains were mistaken for a mannequin last Friday and disposed of in a dumpster at the Sherbrooke police station. The director of police service, Danny McConnell, said the events of July 23rd began with a 911 call just after 10 a.m. for a small brush fire behind a factory of Cannabis Street. Not cannabis.
Yeah, at first I was like,
Cabana Street. Sorry, Cabana Street.
Oh, was cannabis on the mind?
Who knows? Possibly. There's always something involved with these stories. As firefighters arrived on the scene, witnesses reported that someone had come to burn a silicone mannequin. McConnell said by 10:15 a.m. firefighters called on police for assistance. They mentioned that a fire residue resembling a burnt mannequin was located near the woods, McConnell said. After conferring with each other, it was agreed the mannequin should be disposed of in an outdoor dumpster located at the police station, which is inaccessible to the public. At 10:45 a.m., firefighters arrived in the parking lot of the SBS and put the supposed mannequin in the container.
Oh, my Lord.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pick something up? Go, oh, wow, this...
This isn't very heavy. Like,
this is plastic.
This probably isn't even 100 pounds. Like, and how do you not know the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, like, my thing is, you pick it up. I'm sure a dead body, like, isn't, like, perfectly still. It probably flails around. Yeah, like,
it's like it bends and moves.
Right.
And, like, even, like, move one of the fingers. So you, like,
just
you
a little up, stress test it. To make sure this is a body and not a mannequin.
I got to think, too, there's an odor of burnt flesh.
Odor.
Somewhere involved.
Exactly. A skosh.
Just a skosh. And for those who thought this was a family show.
Right. Skosh of bird flesh.
Burnt mannequins. 4 hours later, a man called in to signal the disappearance of his partner, prompting a police investigation into the missing woman. A vehicle was located on Cabana Street. That's probably the word.
Cannabis.
Cabana Street near the site of the fire, thanks to a cell signal from the woman's phone. McConnell said an officer who responded to the fire noted there might be a link to the mannequin. In a bid to shed light on the matter, a decision was made to recover the supposed mannequin. After examining the remains, officers confirmed it was indeed the body of the missing woman.
Okay, so one, how did she catch on fire?
That's a great question.
Spontaneous combustion,
or
I think there was an accelerant.
She was doing the axe hairspray challenge on her hand, and then you know it just continued on the rest of the body.
Gotcha.
Man.
Yeah, how about that? I gotta lower my mic here. It's like right in my face. There we go. An investigation is underway to determine the circumstances leading to the woman's death. Stephanie Simano, that's French, director of the Sherbrooke Fire Department, expressed his condolences to the family of the dead woman, including her partner and children. He said the discovery has left first responders reeling.
I just love that Pops has been struggling all night with like pauses and stuff, and they just struggled with cannabis, but he goes, oh yeah, her last name's French, just like as he reads it for the first time, like of all the information to catch and be right on par with. Oh man. Jennifer says, oh no. Man, Dave had a great comment. He said Coors Light is about 50% LaCroix and 50% urine.
Yeah. Oh.
It is, where did it go?
Big facts. Up air.
Big air. Facts.
There you go.
There it is.
Up air, down there. Keep going down there now.
All right, so he went on to say, I'm pretty stunned with the news, and I could say my whole team, the entire force, the first responders in the intervention are in shock. Yeah, no kidding. A makeshift memorial has begun to appear near the site where the woman's burnt remains were first discovered.
Yeah,
so if Jennifer, you find a mannequin in the woods.
Yeah, it's probably not a mannequin.
Spend a few more seconds.
Move a finger.
A few more minutes.
Oh, it has a full finger instead of one attached together hand? Okay. Well, interesting.
My camera's lower now.
Right.
You hit my camera. With
did
your
I?
Paper ball. Yep.
How dare you?
Whoops.
Wow. just seeing Lowe's expression when he reads the comments. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's me too. I can't hide it. I read it and I'm like, oh, or like, or something dumb.
Man. Hey, this one goes out to anybody that lives in Arizona. If you're looking to purchase, sell, or invest in property, there's only really one real estate agent we trust.
Oh, good.
And that's Sherry Espinoza. And she's part of the Espinoza Group. Yeah, you can see it on her ball caps here. Even Ray's got the nice gray one over there. I'm a little jealous, I'll be honest with you. But Sherry Espinoza is the only realtor I trust, and she does an amazing job. If you meet her, it's like you've known her your whole life in 5 minutes. She's that friendly. She just, and she will treat you like a friend. She'll treat you like a family member. And you just don't want to leave something of that importance up to someone you don't know. You got to give Sherry a call. You can reach out to her. You can get all of her information at azhomesbysherry.com. azhomesbysherry, S-H-E-R-I.com. azhomesbysherry.com. All right. Well, there you go. This next story. This was actually sent to me by Jennifer Myers.
Oh,
Jennifer Myers sent this story. And that's why I like. I like contribution. It makes my life so much easier.
Okay, yeah. So for future reference, where can they send odd news stories to?
They can send all the odd news stories to Pops and Low at Say What You Will Radio. No, I don't even know. I don't even know what the email is. I'll be honest with you.
Okay, so let's do this. He was about to BS his way through that. Gmail aforementioned to be named TBD.
I think it's Say What You Will podcast.com. It's Pops and Low at Say What You Will podcast.com.
We're not going to guess and check because he'll never check that. If he doesn't even know the name, we're never going to check that to do it. You see that number floating across the bottom of the screen that you can call literally
text
anytime?
That.
Text the link to the story to that number, 602-475-2000. If you find a good odd news story,
there you go.
And we'll address it. We'll laugh at it, whatever.
That's exactly right.
Not all of them, though.
So we want to give Jennifer a big thank you for sending us a shout out. A student invents toilet that converts poop into energy. How about that?
Oh, okay. What kind of energy is it converting it into?
I don't know. And listen to this. And it goes beyond that. And it pays in digital currency if you help fill it.
What?
Yeah.
Poop in the hole. We'll give you Bitcoin. Cool.
You ever heard of mining Bitcoin? Watch this. Take a dump in there. Man, that's all bad. Like, but like, how do you... You obviously have this scientific brain, this thing, because this is obviously a massive project. Not just anybody can walk up and do it. Like, why that?
Do it. Walk up and do it.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, but there's a ton of things that are everywhere. Oxygen is everywhere. Why has it got to be that?
Yeah, but
you can use oxygen to make energy.
That's what I'm saying. So why does it have to be that?
Well, I mean, because rather than just sending it down the...
Powerful shit, like Bob said. Powerful shit.
Taco Bell, here I come.
I'm telling you.
Oh,
yeah, that's the thing. You just got to prep for it, I guess.
That's right. You only rent Taco Bell.
Do the Joey Chestnut.
Definitely not something that you purchase. One man's trash is another man's treasure, they say. Well, in South Korea school, one man's poo is another man's pennies. Hmm. How about that? The invention of a toilet that composts human excrement and turns it into methane biogas for the use in school's energy system has the students there reevaluating waste like never before, as the amount of waste they contribute to the electric bills is turned or returned to them in the form of a digital currency.
So I do want to address a comment because we talked about this last week, how you guys enjoy a good poop joke, right? Jennifer said, because it's the Poop and Low Show. That's the new name for the show, right? Every week we talk about some form of defecation
and Low Show
excrement. So, pretty consistent.
Wow.
Man, we stay on par, guys.
The dirty mind behind the brilliant invention was Cho J. Weon, an urban and environmental engineer professor at the Ulsan National Institute of Science and Technology, who insists that humanity can solve all kinds of problems if we think outside the box. How about that? Yeah. Known as the BV toilet, a condensed form of B and vision. See what he did there? The compost currency commode uses a powerful vacuum to pull feces down into a composting tank, thereby eliminating all water usage.
Interesting. Oh. So he stuck a vacuum at the bottom of the toilet.
Science.
Science.
Yeah.
So do you want to see some shit? Watch this.
Next, bacteria break down the feces and the methane is channeled into a solid oxide fuel cell, which powers several building functions, such as hot water, the hot water heater. On average, a human's daily excrement can generate about 0.5 kilowatt hours of electricity. If we think outside the box, feces has previous or precious value to make energy and manure. I've put this value into ecological circulation. Alongside the BV, Cho created a digital token called the G-Goal, or honey in Korean, which students can earn by using the toilet. They can take their feces financing and spend it on coffee and other items in the school cafeteria.
Turn around and then reproduce.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Yeah, a couple dumps, a couple pumps.
Oh, no. Jeez. And see, that's a good point. Mickey said, she's on it today. I'm telling you. That was the whole show today, is Reagan's laughter. Oh, man. Mickey said, so are they weighing their poo so they get an accurate rate of return?
Oh, that's a good question.
Think about that. You got to be, oh, yeah, you guys shorted me 0.08 cryptocurrency. I saw it. I had at least freaking a pound and a half.
Oh, this one's really good. Shitcoin.
Damn it, Bob. Oh, man, that was good. Even threw the dollar sign in there. That got me.
Shitcoin.
Oh, man. That's like how Dogecoin came out of a meme. We should make shitcoin just to say we did it. Shitcoin. At least you're getting paid for the shitty job. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's geez. Brilliant. Comment of the evening.
Of the evening. Shitcoin.
I only had ever thought that feces are dirty, but now it's a treasure of great value to me. He's
still
said.
Dirty. It doesn't change.
Oh. Yeah.
He's like, don't worry. It's I enjoy it now. Oh, man.
He said he's had multiple uncomfortable conversations. I would think so. I would have hey, buddy, to.
So I had to short you a little bit because you got more on the side than you did in the. Come on, man.
Have you ever been in like a public bathroom where it's constantly public, not just like an event or like a subway bathroom?
Like a mall bathroom?
Yeah, where there's like people like constant traffic. Stalls, yeah. And, like, people are like pooping in the urinals. Like that.
Pooping in the urinals.
Yeah, like in New York, that happens all the time.
Jeez.
Like, think of how much money you could make.
We were talking to somebody. I forget who it was. It was just recently. And it was somebody about, it was their kids, like pointing out the like obvious things in the public bathrooms. Uh-huh. Like the kids, they just can't, they point out, you know.
Yeah, their kids, they're new. They're like, oh.
Yeah, so like the young kid will be in the bathroom, the public bathroom, and some guy will be, you know, taking care of business. Uh-huh. And the kid will say, Dad, who's farting in here? Like real loud. Oh, I don't know who's telling us that.
Kids honesty, though, is so great, man.
Why is he farting in here, Dad?
I'm telling you, this we could literally edit the show down just to the clips of Reagan laughing. And that could be our show. It'd be a solid 15 minutes of just laughter. And it would get probably more views than the rest of our stuff.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, we got this is the last story of the night, and then we're going to go spend the rest of the evening with Shell because it is her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, if you are with us on Good Talk Radio, okay, it has been our hour. If you're listening to the audio portion,
is it over already
for the Good Talk Radio? It is. So if you guys are looking to listen to the rest of this show, please go to saywhatyourradio.com. Okay. Also, while you're there, check out the sponsors tab. Shout out to mom.
All right. Well, that's anyway, last story of the night. Last story.
Before we get to that, Aaron asked, where do I sign up to get paid to poop?
We will.
He would have to go to Korea.
Korea.
Yeah. That is the answer. He'd have to move to Korea.
Then you could.
Preferably South Korea.
South. Yes. I mean, yeah. Don't go to North.
Because you're not getting paid to poop in North Korea.
No.
Not happening. Yeah, not happening.
In that movie, The Interview, that they made about Kim Jong-un, one of the rumors was that he didn't poop ever.
Oh, that so he's a woman. Right,
no, that he did. Yeah, that's so funny. Oh, man.
So this is the most cursed films of all time. This is actually what the title of the program was about.
Exorcist?
Ah, the Exorcist number one.
Oh,
how about that? Yeah, how about that? Yeah, so the number one most cursed films of all time is The Exorcist, William Friedkin's freaky tale of a young girl named Reagan. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't. I've never watched the movie because I don't. I'll mess with that.
Well, yeah. Thank you. But it's R-E-G-A-N.
Oh.
So good.
Yeah.
Possessed by the Devil scared the living daylights out of audience upon its release and just over what happened on screen. Shortly after its release, a 16th century church across the road from where the movie premiered was struck by lightning, causing the cross to fall to the ground. How about that? Well done. Well done.
That spooked me a little, not gonna lie.
She's like, oh, freaks out.
At least four deaths have been linked to The Exorcist. It added to the legend of The Exorcist curse, which saw terrified viewers fainting and screaming during screenings, with one woman falling and breaking her jaw. The production had already been hit by a freak fire that burned the film set of Reagan's family home to the ground when a bird flew into the circuit box. How about that's crazy, isn't it?
That is wild.
Was it a crow?
Oh, we might be talking about the crow. Let's see. Yeah, in the circuit box. Most chilling of all, however, was the string of deaths that tormented the crew. Just before the film came out, Jack McGowan, okay, who played the doomed film director Burke Dennings, died from complications due to influenza.
He died from friggin' influenza?
The flu. The flu used to kill a lot of people.
I know, but I'm saying, like, just what are the odds? Like, that's wild.
Yeah. Vasiliki I don't know how to say these people's names.
Another person on set.
Yeah, another person on set who played Father Damien Karras, his mother, also passed away from natural causes while the movie was still in production. Meanwhile, Linda Blair, who played Reagan, the actor and actor Max von Sydow, lost family members before the shooting was wrapped. Well, I mean, that's going to happen.
Necessarily just while you're filming that movie.
Well, movies are filmed over months and months of a time. You know what I mean?
Sometimes years, but still, that's wild.
Yeah.
There was one movie I'd read about that it was like so haunted or whatever that the girl actually got like kept getting possessed like in real life, so they had to stop shooting.
Oh.
So like she would like get possessed and then they'd have to stop and then they'd
be like, all right, yeah, you're good now.
Let's just bring in the priest.
My come thing on. Is after it happens, step one. Yeah,
Father exactly. David, come on in here.
Yeah, all right, everybody off set for 5 minutes. We're gonna get it out, and then when we get it out, we'll bring you all back in.
That's right. Little Billy is climbing on the ceiling again.
Yeah, can take you... 93. Yeah. Man, come on.
Climbing up the walls and hanging from the ceiling.
Get her neck brace, her head rotated again.
It's off to the side again, Tommy. You're going to have to lift her up. Yeah, that's, man.
The second most cursed films of all time, Poltergeist.
Yeah, Stephanie Lindley called that one.
Ah, good call, Stephanie Lindley. Dubbed one of the most cursed films of all time, Poltergeist, similarly, had an eerie string of deaths to its name. The 1982 classic sees ghosts invade a family home, abducting their young daughter, and notably used real skeletons as props because plastic ones were too expensive to be made.
Oh, so it's cheaper to go dig. I said dig.
I don't know. What did
What's
he say?
What's on the brain here, buddy? Jeez. Yeah. Whoa.
I heard what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. You heard what you heard. I heard it was a little.
Hey.
Of independence.
Due to medical misdiagnosis, Heather O'Rourke, who played the little girl, tragically passed away just 12 in 1987. Yeah,
my thing is, if she's in the middle of medical problems, why are you casting her? Like, you'll be fine. You're in between. Oh, diagnosis doesn't matter.
Well, I think she was older. I mean, she died at 12. I think when she was in the movie, she was like 4.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were saying like during filming, different, right?
Yeah, no. Dominique Dunn, who played her older sister Dana, was horrifically murdered by her boyfriend at the West Hollywood home the same year the film came out.
What?
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a rough note to end on.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Fans of the movie have noted one scene that shows the sister's brother, Robbie, with a poster for Super Bowl 22 in his room, which took place 6 years later.
What?
What?
Let me read that again. Fans of the movie have noted one scene that shows the sister's brother, Robbie. He's the kid that got eaten by the tree. Mm-hmm. Had the clown with a poster of Super Bowl 22 in his room, which took place 6 years later.
That's wild.
That is weird, and isn't
creepy.
It?
Creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, Reagan, let me break this down because you're still lost. Okay. The brother in the film, there was a picture of him in the film with a Super Bowl poster.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl wasn't that the one that he had a poster of wasn't supposed to happen for another 6 years.
I wonder if they had the teams. Probably not. They would have said that.
No, if they had a number on there, that's wild.
That's weird, though. Creepily, O'Rourke died the day after Super Bowl 22 happened in San Diego, the city where the game was held.
What? He had a Super Bowl poster for 6 years in the future and then died the day.
The day like after that. Super Bowl 22.
Don't like that.
Nah, I don't like that either.
Don't like it.
What's Christina J say there?
She said the little girl from Poltergeist movie died while the third one was filming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't like that, bro.
Weird. Weird, wild stuff. The Crow. The Crow. While more of a dark superhero movie, more than a horror film, The Crow had one of the most harrowing set disasters in history. I remember this because I was alive back then. The warning signs were there when an electrician was electrocuted on the first day of filming, rushed to the hospital after catching on fire. He suffered second degree burns and had to lose his ears. Oddly enough, he was thrown into the dumpster. They thought he was a mannequin. No, that's not true.
Okay. I didn't have time to catch that. You said this guy got electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
So badly he then caught on fire.
That's correct.
And then lost his ears due to second degree burns.
That's correct. All, yeah, weird. Now, worst to come, though, for the 1994 film's leading man, Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, who himself died in mysterious circumstances. Brandon was due to be shot by a dummy gun loaded with blank rounds for a stunt in one scene. Tragically, no one recognized that the dummy round had become lodged in the barrel of the gun, meaning that when ejected, it stuck him with practically the speed of a real bullet. Brandon died in the hospital from the shot, but producers nonetheless decided to release the film after rewriting the script.
It's cool. He won't mind. He's gone. Wow.
Yeah, you I remember that.
On a sour note. That should have been like a Halloween episode. That was wild.
I don't write the news. I just report the news.
Is there more? Are there more movies on
There's more movies on there.
Can I guess one?
Yes, please.
The Wizard of Oz. Is it on there?
The Wizard of Oz is not on there.
Somebody guessed. Reagan, can you scroll up a little bit? Somebody guessed one. Where'd it go?
Coraline.
There you that one, that's super creepy. I don't care what anybody says. Coraline? The Shining. Angry conservative guessed The Shining was on there.
Coraline is not on there.
Shining?
The Shining is not on there.
Either. Really?
Yeah, nope.
Wow. All right.
Nice well,
let's,
try, though.
Let's keep rocking.
The Omen. The Omen. Yeah. They say lightning never strikes twice, but it did during filming The Omen. Gregory Peck, the star of the 1976 hit, and screenwriter David Seltzer were both traveling on planes hit by lightning during production while a producer was almost hit by a bolt in Rome.
Wow.
So they're in totally
different locations.
My.
The iconic horror flick tells the story of the young Antichrist, and some film buffs have linked it to a number of gruesome accidents that plagued the crew. Director Richard Donner was in a hotel bombed by the IRA, and Peck's son Jonathan tragically died from suicide months before the filming began. Grisliest of all was a car crash involving special effects chief John Richardson and his assistant Liz Moore. In a chilling echo of a scene from the film, Moore was decapitated following the collision, which occurred on Friday the 13th, 1976.
What the? For lack of a term, better term, what the hell?
I don't know why I'm doing this story. It is a downer, is it not?
No, I'll be honest. This is super interesting.
It is interesting.
I'm really enjoying it. It's just very, that's crazy.
In a dark way.
Yeah.
Too many. Oh, man. No, but I am enjoying this. I like this stuff like this interests me.
All right, good. Moving on. Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby producer William Castle was sent to a creepy letter after the film hit cinemas, reading "Bastard, believer of witchcraft, worshiper at the shrine of Satanism."
Who did he send that to?
It was sent to him.
Oh God. So
it goes on to say, my prediction is you will slowly rot during a long and painful illness, which you have brought upon yourself. Oof. You don't want to get that kind of letter.
Wow. That's a curse.
Yeah. Soon after, Castle was hospitalized with painful kidney stones, which made him hallucinate and convince himself the movie was cursed. During one visit to the emergency room, he said to have cried, "Rosemary, for God's sake, drop the knife," referencing the titular. Am I saying that?
Yes. Titular.
A titular character who believes her neighbors are part of a satanic cult. In one of Hollywood.
Stop. We gotta stop. We're not gonna move past it.
Because okay. I said titular. Yeah,
because no, because you second guessed it. Because that's the funny part. Is that me and Reg were like, yeah, the word is titular, and you're like,
am I saying the same? I see titular on the page here. And he's like, shit,
did I just say that over the mic?
I don't know. How often do you come across the word titular?
It's not very common.
Not a common word.
But it was just funny because you.
What does it mean? I don't even know what a titular character is.
So he keeps saying it because he feels more comfortable now. He's like, let me just titular.
Well, I mean, that's how I learned the word saunter.
That's how you learned the word saunter. You weren't terrified by the word saunter, though.
No, but
the most horrifying part of these stories for you was titular.
Are you going to let me know what titular means? Or
no,
are
I'm going to let you figure it out.
All right. Did you Google it, Regs?
Continue.
All right, good. In one of Hollywood's most sickening killing sprees, director Roman Polanski's pregnant wife, Sharon Tate, was murdered by members of the Manson family cult a year after the film's release.
Oh, I didn't know she was part of the, what movie was she tied to?
That would have been The Omen. Yeah. That's exactly. Or no, Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. That's wild. I didn't know she was tied to that.
How about that?
Wow.
So titular is denotating a person or thing from whom or which the name of an artistic work or similar is taken.
I still don't know what it means.
Basically, it's tying a person to their artistic creation.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh yeah. That, yeah. All right.
I was like, what?
I thought I threw the wrong.
I learned the definition of tension. That was good, Reagan. For those of you who've not seen that movie, The Country Bears, I wasn't even a Disney movie. That was just such a good reference, Reagan. I'm so proud of you.
Every time I say, "Oh no," I think
about
it.
Bob said, "I'm a little." No. Oh no, Country Barrel. Christopher Walken. Bob said, "I'm a little afraid to Google titular."
Yeah, watch the pop-ups, man. Right. Watch the pop-ups. Make sure your pop-up blocker.
Titular is Spanish for hoe. Oh man, I don't know if that or shitcoin was better. Oh, that was good.
Oh, where would we be? Where would the show be without Bob?
Yeah, pretty much. There's Pops and Lo and Ray and Bob in the comments.
Now, Bob, just so you know, when we do the show and you don't show up in the first 10 minutes, we just end it.
Yeah, we pretty much just
Show has come to an end.
We start rambling.
We have nothing else to talk about.
Right.
Good night.
All right. Annabelle is the next one. Annabelle.
That one's such a creepy movie.
Yeah, no, those are all
that's
of
a doll
those,
movie.
Oh, whole... really?
Yeah, Dad, that's a creepy girl doll movie. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like dolls, except when the Mexican one.
What?
That was going down a weird path.
No, Jack Black.
Help me. Mexican doll.
Come on. Jack, Nacho Libre. Nacho Libre, where Escalado pokes the doll in the eye. He's like, ooh. Yeah, right.
Okay, so that was, he wanted me out of Mexican doll.
Come on.
Nacho Libre, that one specific thing. So he goes, come on. You know it. Mexican, you know it. Doll. You got it.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Nacho. Or the Escalato. Right. He pokes the eye out. He's, ooh.
That was great. Come on. Mexican doll.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Well, no one thankfully died during the shoot for 2013's Annabelle. Executives behind the film have nonetheless pointed to some very strange goings-on.
Goings-on.
Who says that? There's some strange goings-on here.
the original Annabelle doll is actually a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Dude, uh-huh. it is.
She's
oh, it's not like a little porcelain.
No, ooh. She's late.
Oh, he's on a roll right
and
now.
And then the big girl, she's like, that's okay. No worries.
That's okay. What
you say? He's like, how did you get here?
Again, he's talking about Nacho Libre again.
There's a
for those that aren't following, because we understand this is a family conversation.
But yes, she is that a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah, the original Ann,
not a porcelain doll.
And that thing is beat up, and it looks cursed. Horrifying.
They have it locked in a like specialized like
yeah, it's like in box, an like, area. Like it's oh yeah, man,
I don't care cursed. For that.
No. Yeah, honestly, looking cursed. It up is even creepy.
Uh-huh. Well, director John R. Leonetti said he saw, quote, three fingers drawn through dust on the set multiple times, echoing the three fingers of the murderous doll that haunts characters in the movie. Producer Peter Safran also revealed an actor was nearly crippled by an on-set accident that played out just like the scene on from the film. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I got to ease up on the
17 ices. So you're telling me something they were like, okay, this is going to happen in the film, and then it almost friggin' happened.
It happens
him?
on the scene, oh, on the set.
Man.
We shot in this amazing old apartment building near Koreatown. There you go, Koreatown. And we had some funky stuff go down, he told the Hollywood Reporter. In particular, the first day that the demon was shooting in full makeup, we brought him up in the elevator. He walks out, walks around the green room to where we're holding the talent, and just as he walks under, the entire glass light fixture falls down on his head.
Ah. Yeah, that's not it. See, stuff like that.
See, stuff like that is like me. Is there like some like super little old like Mexican grandma who's like super Catholic? They're like, no. And they like cut the rope.
She's like, I'm not dealing with all these devils in here. She's like, I'm going to end everybody now. That way none of this can go on.
No more.
Interesting. Well, in the script, the demon kills the janitor in that hallway. It was totally freaky, they said.
Oh, man.
And finally here on July 30th, 2021, mm-hmm. Friday night, inside the Say What You Will radio studios on the Pops and Low radio show, The Possession is the last movie. Mm. Never saw it, never heard of it. But actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan isn't a man easily spooked. In fact, as the terrifying Negan.
How do you spell it?
Negan.
Yes, Negan.
There you go. In AMC's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that guy. We didn't get the title first. Yeah, it's Negan. Yeah.
Negan in AMC's Walking Dead. He's rather used to causing the scares. Yet during the shoot for 2012's The Possession, he said a number of unexplainable occurrences haunted the set, with light bulbs exploding about their heads and a chilling breeze following them around. How about that? See, that's scary. Yeah, that's a little scary.
Could you imagine? You're in a room. Doesn't matter how many people are in there, and a light bulb explodes.
Although here,
75 people in there.
In Phoenix, I would welcome the cool breeze, though. You know what I'm saying? I'd just be like, you know,
that type of cool breeze.
You're like, oh, thanks.
It's like, oh, that was so nice of you.
Man, it's so hot and humid here. You know, deodorant breaks down in 5 minutes.
Man, that's wild.
Well, the movie is inspired by the allegedly haunted Dybuk box. I don't know what that is. A wine cabinet that rose to fame when it was auctioned on eBay, with the seller claiming it brought misfortune to its owners. The prop box used in the film was later destroyed in a storage facility fire, and Morgan made clear that while he didn't believe in ghosts, he wanted nothing to do with the real life box. He said, quote, I'm a skeptic. Look, I'm not going to lie. That being said, there was some weird goings on the set. Lots of light bulbs exploding. Just overall kind of creepiness. Don't mock the box was sort of the mantra we lived by while we were shooting the film.
Yeah, because my thing is like, if the prop itself got burned up in a fire, you're having not one. It's not like, okay, a light bulb exploded. Maybe could have been an electrical thing. Multitudes of these things happening. You're getting these breezes like that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Weird stuff.
Here's my pink slip. I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's me too. I'm out.
She said,
I'm out of here.
Tender my resignation.
Wouldn't be interested in hanging around there.
Well,
Well, that's it for the Pops and Low Radio Show. I hope you guys all enjoyed the show. I want to thank Jennifer Myers for being here. Mickey Kentucky, Dave Smith, of course, was here. Bob Myers, also AKA Robert Myers.
Bobbert.
Angry Conservative was here, and many, many more. I got the ending music for you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, beauty, eh?
I just want to, if I missed, I know Stephanie Lindley was here, and amongst many, many other people. Yeah,
we had so many people in here. Donald Malone, Katie Nussbaum, the whole gang, the whole originals. Crew. We appreciate all of you.
The whole crew.
Sherry for giving Mom her gifts this morning, and Ooh. Aunt Cheryl.
That's right. And that's right. And I do want to give a shout out to the Nussbaum's business.
Shout out Katie Nussbaum. You can go check out their products. Katie and Kyle Nussbaum, who are frequently in the comments
section. Nut Tree Designs Company.
You're going to want to go to saywhatyouwillradio.com, click the sponsors tab, and then you're going to click on their logo. It'll take you right to their stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. God bless. And be kind to one another. We'll see you next Friday night.